Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to borrow John Donahue again. He wrote that the unknown is the language of the soul. He recalled a recent hike to his favorite place where trees line the path, a creek moves underneath ice, and a buck stands on the side of a mountain at full attention. The place is alive. He begins walking on the path that he always walks on. Distracted in thoughts about the emails that he still needed to send and phone calls that he needed to return. All of a sudden, his attention is drawn to a new path. The inner dialogue began. Should I take it? Or should I just go the way I always do? I don't know where this new way goes. What if I get lost? What if I can't find my way out? In spite of the fear, he watched his feet as they changed direction, one foot in front of the next, onto the new path. He found himself winding around bends he had never experienced, seeing deer that he had never seen, and facing irrational fears that he did not know lived inside of him. Choosing the new path invoked the experience of vulnerability. His attention to the moment was heightened because he had chosen to step into the unfamiliar. I invite you this day to consider stepping into the unfamiliar for some vulnerability, to mull over the different ways we as a society decide what to believe, who to believe, and what path into the unfamiliar might we take together? But first, please find the insert in your order of service with our 7 UU principles. It's the short version. This version is so much easier to memorize and recall at a moment's notice, especially when you need it most. Please join. Are you ready? 1. Each person is important. 2. Be kind in all you do. 3. We're free to learn together. 4. We search for what is true. 5. All people get a voice. 6. Fair and peaceful world. 7. We care for Earth's lifeboat. Thank you. Number 4. We search for what is true. Unitarian Universalists engage in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Free and responsible. Search for truth and meaning. That 4th principle is a beacon of hope for me. When we lit our chalice, we named it a beacon of hope, sign of our quest for truth and meaning. I would add, at this moment in our history, it's in our national interest, our international interest, to bring us closer to an inclusive truth, one we all can share. With our 4th principle in mind, let's step back to the 17th century for a minute. There was this new emphasis on human reason, and science began to describe the world in terms of natural laws. This challenged the old order. It was the age of reason. English philosopher John Locke was a central figure in this challenge. The old way of life was represented by superstition, an angry God, and absolute submission to authority. The thinkers of the Age of Reason ushered in a new way of thinking. John Locke distinguished knowledge from belief. Unlike knowledge, he said, belief involves accepting something as true without direct observation or reasoned deduction. We may accept something as true simply because someone in authority told us it is true. For Locke, as for other modern thinkers of their day, this would not be an adequate basis for belief. On the other hand, if the source is someone whose knowledge we trust, we may accept it as true based on what Locke called the credit of the proposer. I accept many things this way. We seldom take the time to investigate everything for ourselves. Though when I do investigate using our online access to the world, I am amazed at how deep the search can go. Do not get me started on genetically modified salmon. From Aqua Bounty, they're back in the news again. So instead of doing my own investigating day after day, I look for sources I can trust, a proposer with credit. To whom do you turn for your knowledge and truth? To whom do you regularly turn for knowledge and truth? NPR. We have a plant in the audience here. She works for NPR. PBS. Where's Keith? Doonesbury. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. Your favorite nonfiction writers. Charlotte's book has been published. Unlike the 17th century, today's information, news, and opinion, much of which is speculation, travel fast and widely. It's that myriad of choices of whom to trust that is at issue. Do our proposers have credit? Our fourth UU principle invites us to conduct not just a free search, but a responsible search for truth and meaning. For me, this means checking up on what we hear, what we read, evaluating the credit of the proposer. Who is the proposer working for? Who paid for his work? Who stands to gain? Who stands to lose? Take marketing. There is a growing new science of consumer behavior called neuromarketing, where brain science and marketing meet. The goal? To get us to think we need products and services without which we surely will not get by. Perhaps Steve Jobs comes to mind. I am reminded of Dorothy Sayers and her essay, The Lost Tools of Learning. It begins, "Has it ever struck you as odd that today, when the proportion of literacy throughout Western Europe is higher than it has ever been, people should have become susceptible to the influence of advertisement and mass propaganda to an extent hitherto unheard of and unimagined." She wrote this in 1947. frightened that we were not teaching our children how to think for themselves, how to learn for themselves. I am wondering what Dorothy would say about our susceptibility to advertisement and mass propaganda in our society today. It is critical to examine and question. We get mixed messages from every corner. The health industry, the food industry, the news industry, every aspect of our lives. It is up to us to figure out which way is up. When I find a source I think I can trust, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's then that I welcome new insights, new truths, to see how they measure up. How well I've managed to do this is still under investigation. I like to have my truths confirmed, not disputed. But the older I get, the more anxious I am to get things right, to act more wisely and more compassionately. By what method do we identify contradictions? How do we know when someone is providing us with false information? Let's run through an old familiar set of truths. Starting with Aristotle's truth, the earth is the center of the universe. It was certain. The sun moves around the earth. This is geocentrism. Aristotle, a Greek philosopher who lived from 384 to 322 BC, and Ptolemy, an Egyptian philosopher, three centuries later, both provided theories adopted by the Roman Catholic Church with the help of Thomas Aquinas, a priest and philosopher. Yes, the sun moved around the earth. They could see it circling the earth. It rose in the east and it set in the west. Is that east? Without going deeply into the fascinating evolution of astronomy, Copernicus, a Polish astronomer, proposed a heliocentric model of the solar system. The Earth moves around the sun and rotates on its axis. Kepler, a German astronomer and mathematician, advanced the heliocentric model. Notice the source has gone from philosopher to scientist. Meanwhile, Martin Luther and other religious leaders were quick to denounce the heliocentric model. Galileo, who studied astronomy, mathematics, medicine, and physics, wrote about the heliocentric model and remarked openly on the theological implications of this model. His remarks and scientific pursuits were not greeted with enthusiasm by all. On April 12, 1633, Galileo was called to Rome to face the Inquisition. He was convicted of heresy and spent the rest of his life under house arrest. It took more than 300 years for the Catholic Church to admit that Galileo was right and to apologize for the way he was treated. Scientific pursuits of the day are not always welcomed with open arms, but let's keep going with this. As countless photos from space can attest, our wonderful blue planet, by almost all accounts, does orbit the sun, is not flat, it is round. But then Isaac Newton, here we are still in the 17th century, just a bit later, Newton proposed our planet was not perfectly round. Instead, he suggested it was an oblate spheroid. an oblate spheroid. A sphere that is a bit squashed at its poles and a bit swollen at its equator. I love that. Think of it. Newton was correct. The significance here is this new statement, the Earth is an oblate spheroid, is more true than the statement, the Earth is round. Where does all this leave us? Where am I going with this? Always new information coming at us. Always that question. Does the proposer have credit? Galileo and Newton both turned out to be good proposers with credit. They had those handy telescopes. How do we vet our sources today? To know they are sources we can trust. When new information contradicts what we think we know, how do we process it? Never has there been so much information waiting for us to inspect and ingest. So many sources. Now, add to that, we are a country of 323 million, a world of 7.4 billion, divided in so many ways with conflicting beliefs, knowledge, and truths. Our sources are different. Our fondest stories, our truths, evolved along different paths using different sources. One person's truth is another person's blasphemy. Our ideologies preclude compromise. Compromise our founding fathers were counting on. It's been a struggle to find common ground and know how to move forward in our differentness. We're not so comfortable being in dialogue with those with whom we disagree. This makes me sad. I know I need to learn to listen to different beliefs. I need to learn ways to walk new paths, paths of deeper listening and acceptance of one another's truths, to ever understand what that truth means to them. And in this process, I expect I will come to understand more deeply what my truth means to me by sharing why I believe as I do. But I would be stepping into the unfamiliar for some vulnerability. So many issues of our day: how to interpret climate change and what to do about it, how best to educate our children, how to build long-term relationships outside our comfort zone, how to build a just and peaceful world. That was number 6. All of these and so much more require conversation, both private conversation and public conversation. It's a big job to vet our sources, remain open-minded, and be willing to adopt new thinking. Without our fourth principle, where is the chance to grow? Okay, so what are the consequences of my stuck thinking? What are the consequences for me, for others, and for our society at large? Our beliefs are not inconsequential. Beliefs have inflicted a staggeringly high cost down through the ages. Our beliefs are truths, which may be more or less true, impact millions of lives. And where our beliefs are at odds, we avoid the difficult work to understand one another and find common ground. Here's a proposal. I think this is our work. to take this path to hear one another's truth. And I suspect we'd be very good at it with some practice. We can suspend our assumptions long enough to really hear another's belief and truth. Shall we be drawn to this new path? Should we take it, or should we just go the way we always do? What if I get lost, winding around bends never experienced before, seeing new ways never seen before, facing fears I don't know live inside of me? It's not possible to find the truth alone. Truth is found in community. We need one another for this fourth UU principle in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. As Jim says, quoting Alice Walker, we are the ones we've been waiting for. How might we come together and think more deeply about the critical issues facing our communities, our nation, our planet? How might our differentness become our most promising strength to light the way? How indeed? There is a way. It's an exciting, well-vetted method to explore questions that matter. This method is called the World Cafe. You may be thinking of the World Cafe music program on NPR. Not that. This World Cafe is a process for creative and collaborative dialogue to shape our futures through conversations that matter. Last year, World Cafe celebrated its 20th anniversary. It's being practiced on 6 continents. We could bring it to Henderson County. This method, over and over again, participants in World Cafe events have come away with an overwhelming feeling of hope. Hope to face today's challenges, hope that leads to wise action. This was Juanita Brown's doctorate, and it's been practiced now for, well, almost 21 years. We can hold World Cafe events here. Everyone is welcome. Our diversity, our differentness is what will save us. Reaching out to like-minded people keeps us validated and unchanged. Reaching out to non-like-minded people begins a dialogue long overdue in our families and our communities. John O'Donohue reminded us in our opening words, the most powerful way to change your life is to change your mind. Dialogue in search of truth and meaning can happen here where it's safe, where we can learn and practice the techniques of open, honest conversation. Actually, it's more than a set of techniques. It's an invitation into a way of being together to shape our futures. I have a vision. I have this vision here at UUFH, so we will develop the skill set to host World Cafe events. We'll use this method to hold conversations around important questions and expand the way we honor everyone's participation. We'll get really good at this and begin to share this gift of being together with an ever-widening circle in our community. How many of our UU principles does the World Cafe employ? All of them. Thank you, Catherine. If you have that little tune in your head, you can remember these a lot easier. Our number seven, we care for Earth's lifeboat, our interconnected web of life, our very interconnected web of life. I hope you want to know more about the World Cafe. Please join us after the service to learn more. There's a handout and a sign-up sheet if you would like to participate. This method holds such promise. In the wise words of Reverend Joan, to sit down together and speak softly, to hear one another into speech, is one of the greatest gifts anybody can give to another person. And it can be both life-changing and life-giving. To really listen and really hear is to discover a new way of being together. This creates not only a faith community, but paves the way to peace and life abundant. Let's try this World Cafe. Let's create new possibilities of connection in our community and opportunities to find a greater truth, an inclusive truth. May it be so. Thank you.